Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Later in life that he had some problems with his family. And so Johnny Cash then sang this song only for his children to look for forgiveness. And it wasn't written by Johnny, but this is what he said to his kids.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never did it yet. I'm gonna be like him, yeah. You know I'm gonna be like him.
Johnny Cash.
And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, the boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then.
And that's what this sermon's about. Today, what's really on my heart is, where's your relationship? First, I'd like to pray before we go any farther. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit fills this room. May the words that come out of my mouth, like Dan said earlier, may the words be the words that you've put on my heart, Lord, that people hear. May this sermon be a sermon to the body of Christ here to make a difference in our lives. And may we listen in how relationships matter and where we're going with our lives. Pray this in your name. Amen. The jacket's getting way too warm. I don't know how Johnny Cash did that, but he loved wearing big, long, black leather jackets. In fact, it was said once that he gave his jacket to a man, and it was the man's most prized possession. And one day, Johnny Cash was given a gift. The man gave it back to him. Now, Johnny could have went out and bought many other jackets, but it was the jacket that he gave as a gift that was most important. Today we're going to be talking about our relationships. And the greatest relationship that we have, our relationship with Jesus Christ. Matthew 7:21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Without a relationship with your Savior, you have nothing. You don't have salvation. Matthew is very clear in showing us this. In fact, Jesus said, away from me, I never knew you. Let's look back on relationships and where they all started. We are told in Genesis 1:26, God made us in his image. And in the garden, Adam had a relationship with God. They were hanging out together. And in Genesis, we're told that Adam named all the animals. They had a relationship. In Genesis 2:18, God also seen man as needed a suitable helper. So in Genesis 2:21 through 23, we see that the rib is taken from the man and the perfect partner was formed. Woman. They have a relationship. In Genesis 2:24, we learn the relationship in marriage, where man leaves the father and mother and becomes one in a deeper relationship. Now the word man doesn't just mean for the men. It was meant for women and men. They leave their parents. They become one in marriage. They have a relationship. Genesis 3 tells us of sin and how the fall of sin that happened in the Garden of Eden broke the relationship with God and casted them out of the garden. So we understand about broken relationships too. One person feels that they form a relationship with God, it's going to last forever. We are relationship beings. The Bible tells us that we're meant to be formed for relationships. Elders, listen up. Correct me if I'm wrong. To have a right relationship with God, we need to be in right relationship with each other. Would you agree, elders? If you don't, pull me off this pulpit right now. Thank you, Thomas, for even agreeing and nodding your head. Every one of us should be checking me. Jesus told us in Luke 11:14, one part that we read, forgive us our sins, for as we forgive others of their sins. Are we supposed to hold grudges? No, we're not. Mark 11:25, Jesus tells us, and when you stand and pray, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. If we're going to hold people liable and judge them, God, our Heavenly Father, is going to judge us on some of them same standards. So I have a personal question to ask you. How's your relationship with your friends? Do you have any friends that maybe 30 years ago you've had a problem with and needed to go deal with? Or even a friend last week that hurt your feelings? Do you need to go ask for forgiveness for them or forgive them? How about your brothers and sisters? Each one of us have a brother and sister here in Christ because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So how are we as a body? Do we ever have somebody in the body we're unhappy with? Do we go talk to them? And if you can't reconcile them between us, biblically it's expected to get an elder involved. We need to have good communication between our brothers and sisters in Christ. And even with your own personal brothers. I struggle with my brother, and I love him with all my heart, but I got to keep forgiving my hard feelings to make sure that relationship grows. How about children? With your parents. How many of you are children of a parent? Raise your hand. And if you don't have your hand raised, I want you to explain to me how you're not a child. Okay? I need some insight on that. But each one of us are children of a parent. How's your relationship? And even if your parent has passed on, you can forgive them. I can see my wife laughing at me. Because she's thinking about, okay, he's going to go on to the sermon here. She can just know my mind. Looking at that, each one of us are children. We need to sometimes even forgive our parents that have passed on. That's partly for us, to forgive them. I remember my father, Cloud. And yes, that's his name. My dad's name was Cloud. I'm very proud of it. My dad was an abusive father. I knew I did wrong when I got off the ground. There wasn't a warning. You just got hit. But I love my dad. I've forgiven him. And by forgiving my father, I have a better relationship with him. As he was dying of cancer, and we'll talk later about that, there was healing power and forgiveness. Mothers and fathers, how many of you are mothers and fathers in here that would love a better relationship with your kids? Yes. Where are we spending our time? Wives and husbands. How many of us would love a better relationship with our wives and husbands? I think all of us would admit to it. I don't want to see hands. But come in January, we're going to have, hopefully if the elders will allow it, the Songs of Solomon for the married couples. Talking about how our marriages can be better in a different way. Here's a tough one. How's your relationship with God? How is your relationship with God? Where is God in your relationship? Just Sunday morning when you come here to church? Or is God throughout your week? To have a better relationship with God, all these relationships that I've just talked about, they need to be right. You need to be working at your earthly relationships. Now, Johnny Cash, you got to see a little bit about him. So if you didn't know how popular he was, would you think Johnny Cash had a colorful life? I would think so. Pretty wild. Would you think he was a good friend? Maybe. How about a good brother? Because he was a brother. Do you think he was a good father? A good husband? Do you think he was a good Christian and even had a relationship with God? I mean, look at this guy. He'd go singing in prisons, going honky-tonking in bars, encouraging drinking. How could he have a good relationship with God? Some Christians would actually say, I don't think he does. But in James, it tells us that we are not to judge others. For God is the judge, and that's not ours to say. So let's go look back a little bit on Johnny Cash and get to understand him. Because his real name wasn't Johnny Cash. His real name was J.R. And why he was named J.R. is that his parents couldn't agree on a name. And for all of us parents that have had kids, sometimes we have that discussion, how are we going to name that child? And they couldn't agree on a name, so they each picked a letter. One liked the letter J and one liked the letter R. And so he was known as J.R. That was Johnny Cash's legal name. And J.R. went off to the Air Force, and after he got out of the Air Force, he didn't like his name. So he had his name changed to Johnny Cash. Now, J.R., at the age of 5 years old, to show you how poor that family was, at 5 years old, do we have any five-year-olds in the group? Yes! I know, Jack, you act five, but you're not five. Put your hand down. But at 5 years old, Johnny Cash picked cotton with his mother in the cotton fields. At 5 years old. At a young age, also his brother was cutting in a wood sawmill. And his brother and him got in an argument because they should be working, but he wanted to go fishing. Like a young person wanting to go fishing, Johnny, or J.R., went fishing, leaving his brother to work in the sawmill alone. To Johnny's death, it bothered him that he didn't listen to his brother, and he went fishing. He fought with his brother. Then were the last words that they had because his brother died on that day in the sawmill. And it bothered Johnny to his death that if he would have not fought with his brother, or if he wouldn't have went fishing, he still would have had that relationship. Now, how did Johnny Cash get so popular? Well, the first songs he sang on the radio were called My Mother's Hymnal Book. Yes, that's what Johnny did. He opened up his mom's hymnal book and he read and sang the songs over the radio, and he had a beautiful voice. But then Johnny got rich. And all that money and power made a difference in his life. He got married to Vivian, his first wife, and they had four girls. But Vivian divorced him because of the drugs, the alcohol, and the infidelity. Just broke that relationship apart. And like we talked about, relationships, they're not working. And all four of them girls had a problem in their relationships for the rest of their lives, and the marriages that they had failed. Johnny's four daughters had a hard time in their relationships. He as a father was not there for his daughters. So the sins of the father have been passed on. The Bible tells us it's very biblical. For he was not home to love his family. Johnny Cash lost his family because of his sinful life. And then it dropped him into loneliness and depression. And through that loneliness, he went through hell. Satan wants for every one of us, he wants to divide us and put us in depression and make us all alone. So we don't have that relationship. The relationship with God our Father, and the relationship with our heavenly brothers and sisters. June Carter was his second wife. And she had two daughters from two different men. June Carter also lost a daughter at a young age. But the other daughter had a problem with relationships as well. But Johnny and June had a seventh child together, John Carter Cash. He keeps the record studio going that his father had going, but he wants others to know of Johnny's personal relationship and love for the Lord, because Johnny Cash did have a relationship with God. Johnny Cash says, "Don't watch the movie to see the relationship with my father, because the studio didn't put it justice." But after a sinful life, in the movie it shows, and Johnny admits, in 1967, Johnny tried killing himself. He had everything. He had riches, wealth, at least everything by worldly standards. But in 1967, Johnny tried taking his life. But as he was taking his life, trying to die, God came to him and said, "Johnny, I have a purpose for you. I have a purpose in your life." Johnny admits that that day is the day that he became born again and accepted Jesus Christ. He was freed from alcohol, freed from infidelity, and freed from drugs. Johnny Cash came to the cross. And he's been misunderstood. Why did Johnny Cash wear the black? The black jacket, the black shirt? Was there a reason? Yes, Johnny Cash did. He sang a song about it, but he also wore the black for a reason. He wore the black for the poor and the down, the ones living and are homeless and are hungry, the ones on the other side of town that are unwanted, the prisoner that's been in prison, did his time in prison, but never forgiven, and in prison for the rest of their life. To this day, Johnny Cash gives a percentage of his profits to non-profit organization. There's money going to Africa because this man cares for others. After his conversion, 20-some years later, Johnny Cash had a double bypass. And as he was having through the double bypass, he didn't want to take any medicine, any painkillers, because he was in so fear that if that painkillers got a hold of him and he liked it too much, that he would go back to that old life. He loved his relationship with God, that he did not want to have anything become between him and his God. The song that we heard him sing, "The Cat's in the Cradle," we get busy in our lives. The busyness takes us away from many things. It takes away from relationships and where we spend our time. We need to slow down. And I need to almost listen to the sermon myself to learn how to slow down. Johnny Cash went through his life very quickly and looked at relationships matter. Today, I also want to talk to you about, how about your friends? What's the Bible have to say about it? Matthew 7:3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the blank plank in your own eye? Luke says the same thing in 6:42. Let me tell you a story. As a manager, I had a problem with a coworker once. We managed this department together. And I swear that this individual was always trying to get me in trouble. Set me up for failure. And I'm looking at pointing the finger and going, God, go get them because they're picking on me. But what I didn't realize is when God opened my eyes, my success, I kept rubbing in. Every time I was successful, I'd say, look at this, I did it again. Look at this, I have not just one, two, I have five times the amount of awards you have. I'm very successful. I was the problem in that relationship. As soon as I stopped bragging and come alongside that person and help build that person up, our friendship got better. So where's your friendship? And how are you being friends with others? 1 John 3:10 tells us, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. Anybody that doesn't do what is right. How can we love our brothers if we don't have a good relationship with them? 1 John 2:10. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. If you're not right in relationship with others, the Bible tells us we're going to be in darkness. Let's look at the next relationship. Children, fathers and mothers. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for it is pleasing to the Lord. Children, obey your parents. Every parent's going, say that again, Pastor. Children, listen to your parents. But some of the kids are going, so what? Well, let me tell you what so what is. Ephesians 6:2 through 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. We've got a commandment with a promise. And the promise is that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. By honoring our parents, God has told us we are going to have blessings. If you have a broken relationship, take the time to fix it. Why? Because it's pleasing to the Lord. He loves to see us come back together. Satan wants to divide us. God wants to unify us. As my father was passing away, we talked about a lot of things. And I forgave him. But I was blessed to have my father dying of cancer because it gave us time together. Not everybody has that opportunity. Colossians 3:21. I feel is the father and mother and the relationship with their children is do not, I feel is that for the father and mother and their relationship with their children, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Years ago I read that, Colossians 3:21. And I said, that's my dad. He doesn't encourage me. He puts me down. And my wife said, that's not just your dad. You sometimes do it to our children. I've been working on it, and as I wrote this sermon, I realized I've been doing it again. Not encouraging as much. Putting down. So I encourage every one of us as parents, encourage the young ones. because, like Johnny sang the song, he didn't have time for his son when he was young. And if you listen to the rest of the song, it goes on that later on that young man becomes just like him, because he's got no time for his father. The next relationship we'd like to look at is wives and husbands. Are you working at having a deeper relationship? Deeper relationship with each other as you're married. Genesis 2:24. We learn for the relationship in marriage, man will leave his father and mother and become what? One. Now, Satan would love to break that apart. But I'll tell you this. I have married a saint. People tell me at work that I've married a saint, Saint Jane, because in Colossians it says 3:18, wives submit to your husband as it is fitting to the Lord. Now, my wife is a saint for the reason of some of the stuff she puts up with me. I used to work a job that was 50 hours a week. I'd run some side businesses, do a little remodeling around the house. As I went to school full time, George, you know what it's like going to school full time and working. My wife was there. As my parents were dying, and my dad moved in with us, my wife was there. When we had a 4-hour interview with Pastor Bruce and the elders, and the Vikings were playing, and that was when they were winning, my wife was there. As your associate pastor, working a full-time secular job, working with Andy and my wife in side businesses, and now working on my ordination, and also trying to remodel the house to get it ready to sell this week, my wife is there. For 28 years, this young lady has dated me, and she's been there the whole time. Not as a doormat, but as an equal. And I thank God for my partnership and my relationship with my wife. But Colossians 3:19, when Paul goes to tell the husbands, though, love your wife and do not be harsh with them. Guys, do you treat your wife like a queen? It's kind of quiet out there, guys. And even the guys that are engaged to get married, do you treat your wife to be like a queen? I'd hope so. It'd be yes. One of the younger ones said yes. And so then, if you treat your wife like a queen, well, of course, she can give you the respect and treat you like a king. And that's the way I feel in my house, is that I feel like a king. I tell you the truth. Why I have a strong marriage is that I love my wife and she respects me. And we are one together. And this is only by the grace of God. Pastor Bruce just talked about, 2 weeks ago, about the prayer of the Father. And it starts off, Father. But even the devil knows of God. And I don't want to see not one person here misled. Because the relationship with God does matter. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that they might have eternal, everlasting life with Him. We are relationship beings, each and every one of us. Johnny's Cash sung Cats in the Cradle to his kids to ask for forgiveness, to try to build that relationship back. He'll never get the time back. The time is gone. But let me ask you this. Where do we spend our time? How many of us spend time in the Bible? How many of us spend time in prayer? Jim Bateman, like a stepfather to me, actually I call him father now, he refers to the TV as the devil's box. Yeah, a few people looked him back to see if Jim was there. But he refers to the TV as the devil's box. And you know what? It kind of can be. How many hours do we spend on TV? How many people here watch TV more than 2 hours a day? Okay? 2 hours a day is not much. Okay? How about 2 hours a week? We'll just make it easier so we get more hands up. How many watch TV hours? 2 hours a week. Okay? How many of you spend 2 hours of prayer a week? Or 2 hours in the Bible? That's my question. Where is your time for your relationship? And even if you had more time, would you spend time watching TV or would you spend time in relationship? I got a little video for you to think about. Let's watch this video.
Really, I haven't forgiven them. Maybe the real point of forgiveness isn't other people. I mean, we talk about setting them free and letting it go, but maybe forgiveness is ultimately about me and about you. It's about us. Because when I forgive somebody and I set them free, it's like I'm really setting myself free. It's like when I forgive them and I let them off the hook, I'm really letting myself off the hook. If I'm still carrying all that stuff around, it's a miserable way to live. I mean, I don't know what you're carrying around or how long you've been carrying it around. But as we journey through life, we get hurt and we get wounded and we end up carrying these debts that people owe us. It's like we carry them with us everywhere we go. And after a while, these bags get heavy, don't they? And they can end up making the journey exhausting. God didn't create you to carry that stuff around. God created you to be free, like free from bitterness, free from rage and anger and revenge, free from feeling like you're the judge of the world. I mean, what does it look like for you to just let it go? I mean, maybe you have to do something. Maybe it's a phone call or an email or some sort of face-to-face conversation. Or maybe there's just that moment, like where deep in like the very fiber of your being, you just say, I'm not going to carry that around for one more day. And this might be the first step in a long process of letting it go. But we need to forgive, and we need to start today. We need to do it today, now. I mean, forgiving is an action. It's something you do. So may you forgive as you've been forgiven. May you give to others what's been given to you. May you set someone free and find out that it was you. And may you do it today, because you might not have the chance tomorrow.
Might not have tomorrow. That young lady could be your daughter. Could be your wife. Could be your mother. And if it was a man, it could be your friend, your son, your father. When you lose someone, you lose the chance on that relationship and walking things through and talking things through. You lose the chance for forgiveness. If you've thought of somebody, anyone on any of these lists that we talked about, go to them. Work on that relationship. Through that relationship, you will find healing. And through that healing, you will find you will have a closer relationship with God, your Heavenly Father, because He's going to rejoice that you're reunited. And that friendship with God. That young lady in the film is only going to hear two words when she enters into heaven, or two different things from Jesus. She's going to hear Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. Just think of it. You're standing in front of Jesus and He's going to be saying to you, well done, you good and faithful servant. I will be dropping to my knees and crying to hear them words. Or Jesus could be saying Matthew 7:23 to you, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. How is your relationship with God? Luke wrote this in 11:9-10. So I'll say it to you. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. I do not want to see any one of you think about it. How is your relationship with God? Do you want to recommit your relationship with God? Do you want to have a life-changing experience where you're going to say, God, I give you my life? I've asked the elders if they could come forward. And we'd like to be with up here if you'd like to have any prayer. And if you feel like you'd like to pray with somebody and you're a prayer warrior, you're welcome to come up too. So elders, come forward. We'd like to do an altar call. If you feel like you would like to have a more deeper relationship with Jesus and you'd like to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, please come forward. If you want to recommit your life and say, God, I just want help. I just want that deeper relationship. Help me go talk to these people I want to be a part of. Please come forward if you feel.